I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderroot artist feature. I'm speaking today with Jiyoung Lee and Dave Bonowitz, filmmakers here in Atlanta. Guys, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your tandem as a filmmaker duo. Dave, you are primarily a cinematographer, and Jiyoung, you are director, writer, correct?
Yeah, of this movie, yeah. Roll sleeves, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about the process of having this tandem that you all have put together as far as your work in the past and even on Moral Sleaze.
Well, I mean, Dave and I, you know, have been working together for a while. I mostly acted in his works. And the start came in 2008 during the Rapid Eye movement. It was a small thing that the Atlanta Film Festival thing.
50-hour film fest.
Yeah, it was a 50-hour film fest that the Atlanta Film Festival did back in 2008. It didn't last after that. But so Dave decided to make a short, and I acted it, and the responses were better than we thought. So we just, you know, with that little short film, we worked on a couple of other short films, and Dave decided to make a feature, you know, starring me, based on the short we did for the 50-Hour Film Festival. And, you know, we made a feature together. He as a director, me as an actress, and, you know, we found that, you know, we work well together. And not only that, that feature film got into Slamdance Film Festival, which is, like, you know, one of the, you know, bigger indie film festivals. So it was like, you know, it started with like a 50-hour, you know, short, but, you know, it like grew on to bigger things, I would say.
Also, we're in a band together.
There, yeah.
Also, we cook together.
Yeah.
And we find that we work well just making things together.
Lots of collaborative creativity happening here.
Right.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Atlanta Film Festival and Moral Sleaze and your submission for that. So give our listeners some context in terms of the story and what you're aiming for.
Well, it's a very fictional account. None of the events that actually happen, you know, is based on true life. You know, it's kind of ridiculous, the story. Just to give you a synopsis of what the movie is about, it's about like a relationship falling apart. And it all takes course in the making of an iPhone movie. And it's based on the relationship I had in my early 20s. It wasn't a positive relationship, but, you know, to kind of help shape, you know, like, you know, me as a person, me being an adult. So I wanted to make a movie about that. And, you know, the character, the male lead is based on, you know, certain characteristics my ex-boyfriend had. But further than that, like, you know, seeing it now, like, subconsciously, it's also about, like, you know, my crankiness and my, like, you know, curmudgeoniness against, you know, indie artists, I guess. So, yeah.
It's a declaration of curmudgeonry.
Yeah, it's a declaration of curmudgeonry. And we're, like, proud to get, like, picked by the Atlanta Film Festival. And we've had, you know... but I have to also note that we've known, like, some of the programmers of Atlanta Film Festival for a while. For example, I mean, you
yeah,
know.
But it's not like we go out to dinner with them.
No.
This is, I think you're selling yourself short on your film because, yeah, it's not like we know them and they're like,
yeah.
It's not nepotism.
It's not nepotism, but, you know, everybody, I mean, this is how I personally feel about, like, you know, film festivals and the indie film festivals, you know, and I'll say this, okay? So there are thousands of submissions every year, okay? I will not say nepotism, like, you know, has, like, much to do with the actual selection process, but I would think that, you know, if you're even going to, like, the first stage of, like, considerations, you know, I do think, like, personally, I mean, and we don't really know them well.
Atlanta Film Fest will take an extra look at local films. That's
exactly,
true.
That's my point. You
that's
know?
True.
Well, yeah. Let me jump in there. Let me yeah. jump in because I think this is a great segue to a different conversation that really speaks to perhaps the film festival industry or just Atlanta film in general. What is it like when you're submitting or when you're thinking about submitting or preparing your work, Dave? Give some context to the process of trying to get your work out there and using these film festivals as a vehicle for that?
Well, I know for our previous film, Pleasant People, I kind of went around on different festivals' websites that I heard of, and I would look at all their movies, and I'd say, this one looks like, you know, ours is on about that level, just based on the preview, you know. And then you start, and two, you see films, and you look, oh, where did that play? Where did that play? And if you think that it seems like a cool festival, maybe you'll not, you know, note that one.
Yeah.
The thing is, to submit to festivals, it's very expensive, and it's kind of, I know for my previous film, just threw a bunch on my credit card. I think I'm still paying for most of them. But once you get into certain festivals, it could completely make your film, because our previous film got into Slam Dance, and from there we had like many festivals requesting to see our film, and our fees were waived. And a lot of the festivals that we got into after that was solely because
we got into Slam Dance.
Yeah. So if you get into the right festival, it could be very good for your film.
Yeah.
My fear was getting into none. So, you know, just getting into one was great.
Well, let me jump in there and sort of interject and insert the Wonder Root Filmmakers Night into that. Because I think that in terms of highlighting local filmmakers, it is our goal, our mission to help give them a platform to perhaps get into these other festivals or help that process along. So as past participants in the Wonder Root Filmmakers Night, can you speak to that process of participating there and then going to these other ones?
Well, I could speak about meeting collaborators through that, because the first time I saw God Amsterdam, which was worked on by Max Fisher. He went on to be in Moral Sleaze. So I knew his work from the Wonder Root Night before I had ever met him, and then he ended up being a collaborator.
And I've also found, like, the most important actor in my movie, like, I always say that he, like, really, you know, made my film, Matt Gallo. I first saw him at a Wonder Root Night screening. It was called 6-6 Sexy. Like, yeah, it was a music video called 6-6 Sexy, and it was, like, directed by Eddie Ray, like, a great, you know, local, you know, video maker. Yeah, so it's, you know, in terms of getting, like, for me, actors and collaborators, yeah, it has definitely been a resource. And, you know, it's great that, you know, there's a local entity that, you know, picks, you know, like you know, pretty much, you know, that takes, you know, like submissions from local filmmakers and, you know, screens them on a huge screen, you know. I mean, I think it's a great, you know.
And it's always a very diverse kind of mixture of films.
Yeah, like, I do see like a slight, you know, style. Yeah, there is a certain style in my opinion, but in my honest opinion, there is a certain style, like usually that, you know, gets in, but still, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, like just like looking at from their selections, I'm pretty sure they go through every submission, you know, which I can't say for every film festival. Like, I mean, but you know, Slam Dance, Atlanta Film Festival, great film festivals where the programmers really care. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some, though, you have doubts.
Some, though, I have doubts, just because, I mean, like, once you start getting to the film festival circuit, in my, like, just from my experience, you look at, like, their schedules, you know, you look at their film schedules. I would say before you spend money to, like, you submit to a film festival, look at the schedule from the past year. And it'll show a lot on, like, what this programmer's, like, psyche would like, kind of be like, in my opinion. Yeah.
What's some other advice that you would give, since we're dispensing valuable advice? What else would you recommend that emerging filmmakers do or don't do as they are about to follow in your footsteps to a certain extent?
That's hard to say, because I feel like I don't feel like I know anything really about making movies.
Well, I mean, you're selling yourself short there, because if anybody like can like make a decent film out of very little resources, it's him. You
but,
know,
yeah. Well, that's the thing.
He's a very guerrilla filmmaker.
I mean, I definitely come from this DIY ideology, and you know, I listened to a lot of home recorded music, and was very involved with punk rock growing up, and I think that we're making kind of you know, in a sense, like punk rock movies where they're, you know, we're just doing them by our own standards and not necessarily making any political statements, but not really worrying about making it look, you know, as polished as it could be. And it's very scrappy, but in homemade feeling.
Yeah, but, you know, some of the emotions get across. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, you know, more personal, I think, than some of the other projects, I think, that are being made by early career filmmakers.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your life or a snapshot of your life as filmmakers, as professional creatives, because both of you all have your quote-unquote 9-to-5 in the creative space, mind you, where you work as editors and you create very polished pieces for major networks here, but also you have this other side where you're creating things that are based on your passion. So what does your life look like when it comes to working your professional job in this creative space as an editor in major media environment versus really grabbing hold of your passion and creating these projects that you're able to have a lot more creative control over?
Well, I would say the biggest difference is, as far as my particular job goes, I mean, there are things that go wrong with the computer and everything, but usually, like, my tasks are very set. Like, I have a very, very set schedule of how I do things, especially at work, you know. I go to work, I do this, I do that, do that, do that, do that. It's a very set, you know. It's sort of like Groundhog Day, like, go over and over again. Whereas in the creative sphere, like, I don't really have a set schedule, you know. Like, for example, with Moral Sleaze, I had a couple of ideas, you know, set. And back then, back last year, I was freelance. So, like, every once in a while, I would have to take a week off because it was, like, you know, the rule. And I took 1 week off and I just started writing the script. So, like, with, like, the creative professional life, it's very, like, schedule is very erratic of how I make things, in my opinion.
Dave?
I have the people I work with are all very cool, and we, for the most part, see eye to eye on most things. But I think in the professional jobs, someone could say, oh, I don't like that idea as much. Let's take it more in this direction. Whereas on Moral Sleaze, you know, we were allowed just to go completely off the deep end with potentially bad ideas without anyone having any input, which is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know.
Okay. True.
But there are definitely there's benefits to working with people who, you know, as a video editor, I feel like working with designers or working with writers could really help making a spot way tighter.
That
and,
is true.
Whereas the type of movies that we're making are very, you know, it's kind of a two-man army where we're just making all the choices based on, you had a designer though, but you kind of dictated to her what you wanted.
Yeah.
But Dave, even where you work at Adult Swim, there seems to be a pretty broad creative palette. You all seem to be able to do a lot of different things. So even the bad ideas, I feel like someone would champion it until it was no longer cool anymore, and then you may just switch off. So can you even speak to that?
It's hard to say. I mean, I feel like we make a lot of bad ideas every day, you know, that other networks never would. So sometimes your ideas aren't necessarily bad enough. Or, I don't know, it's definitely, it's a weird place to work with.
Especially in the major cable industry, because I would say, like, as a fact, I mean, few networks are anomalies, and Adult Swim is an anomaly. From the networks I've worked with, Adult Swim is an anomaly. I would say TCM is an anomaly in that sense. But in other networks, there are a lot of people making a lot of decisions, you know. And when it comes down, like, when all the what the editor does really a lot of the times, I mean, and within editors too, there's, you know, editors with more influence than other people. But if you go to like a big or bigger organization other than like those two networks I've mentioned before, it's very compartmentalized, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I, for the most part, most of my creative jobs are more working on like game promos or iPhone game promos, things like that. So a lot of times I'm just facilitating the concepts that other people come up with. But it's still very, at the same time, it's like sometimes we make those promos and I'm like, man, this is like jazz because we're just like switching out voiceover like last minute or like, hey, let's just make the voiceover, 75% slower or, you know, just pitch it down or I don't know. It's fun. Both, honestly, it's vastly different, but they're both thrilling ways to work, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we wrap up, I would love for you all to give more information about Moral Sleaze as well as any of your site information where people can find more of your work.
Okay, Moral Sleaze, it'll be screening on March 21st, 2013 at the Atlanta Film Festival.
7:15 p.m.
7:15 p.m., particularly at the Plaza Theater, the big screen. It's a very fun, entertaining, and juvenile movie that, you know, you won't regret seeing. So, you know, if you have time, yeah, like, give it, check it out.
Yeah. If you like to giggle at other people being stupid, I think... Probably.
And, you know, the movie is sort of pokes fun a lot at, like, indie filmmaking, you know, and pokes fun.
And we're, you know, also that means us poking fun at ourselves.
Yeah, us poking fun at ourselves. So, like, if you're an indie filmmaker, you might find a few things to laugh at yourself about. Yeah.
Jiyoung Lee.
Yes.
And Dave Bonowitz. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.